Thanks for joining us at Crossroads Church. We hope you enjoy this week's sermon.
We're jumping into a brand new sermon series today titled Fingerprints. Everyone say fingerprints. We leave our fingerprints everywhere we go. On everything we touch, whether we like it or not. Fingerprints have been used throughout time to identify. Mostly to identify criminals. However, fingerprints serve as a form of identity. Your fingerprints are your identity. And our fingerprints were uniquely designed by God, our Creator. And no two fingerprints have ever been found the same. But think about this, church. Why did God design or give us fingerprints? Why did God give you fingerprints? God did not give you unique, one-of-a-kind fingerprints so that you could be detected for a crime. No, sir. God gave you unique, one-of-a-kind fingerprints so that you could leave a unique, lasting impression on everything you touch. And that's the whole, or the key thought for this entire series. God gave us fingerprints so that we could leave a unique, lasting impression on everything we touch. We leave our fingerprints on everything we touch. Sometimes our fingerprints are visible and sometimes they're not. Especially if your hands are dirty. If you're like my kids, that's always. We have found their fingerprints everywhere you could possibly imagine. On every door in our home, from the very top of the door to the very bottom. How did you get way up there, man? And what in the world were you doing way down there? Most of you moms can probably relate to this. Their fingerprints are on the bottom of the bathroom door. Because they're laying down outside of the bathroom door, knocking, pounding, waiting on mom to finish her business. How many of you moms can relate? Our kids have left their fingerprints on every window in our home, every countertop, every TV, every mirror. Did I mention every stainless steel appliance in our home? And by the way, stainless steel appliances were never made for homes with children. Just saying. We found their fingerprints in every liquid form you can imagine. Chocolate, peanut butter, syrup, toothpaste, makeup, and even snot. Nasty. I think their dirty little fingers are magnets to all the surfaces in our home that we want to keep clean and fingerprint free. The title of today's sermon is These Hands. Everyone hold out your hands just like this and say, These Hands. I want to start in Exodus chapter 4. And I want to pick up where we left off on Vision Sunday. We're going to be talking about Moses after he had this encounter with God at the burning bush. Through this encounter, God established his purpose and his calling for Moses' life. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, God said, Moses, go, I am sending you to rescue my people. Go, Moses. But see, Moses responds a lot like many of us have responded to our calling. Exodus chapter 4, verse 1. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you? How many of you have said that before? Come on, teenagers. Verse 2, then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hands? Turn to your neighbor and say, what is that in your hands? Moses said, a staff. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. God, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to break the bread of life with your people, with your church. God, I pray that you would anoint this word in a real and a mighty way, that you would speak through this vessel passionately, God. Or that you would deliver a word for those that came in that maybe feel hopeless or maybe feel down and out. Maybe feel like they can't go another day, another step. God, I pray hope would rise through this sermon. Faith would rise, that we would be encouraged, inspired, motivated. And God, if there's someone here today that needs to be convicted by your Holy Spirit, I pray your Holy Spirit would convict. And God, I pray that this church would be a church that grows. We grow in our faith individually, God. God, we know that growing people change. I'm not the same man I was or the same Christian I was 3 years ago or even 3 months ago, God. And Father, I pray that each and every person in this church today will be able to say that I'm growing more and more like Christ every day. I'm changing. We thank you. We honor you. And everyone says, amen. Amen. God asked Moses a question that he knew the answer to. God didn't ask this question to Moses because he didn't know. God asked this question to show. God was showing Moses his power through this question. God was showing Moses the power in surrendering through this question. See, there's power in letting go of what you're holding on to today. There's power when you release what's in your hands. Today, God knew what Moses had in his hands, and God knows what you have in your hands today. God knows. He knows what you have in your hands, sir. God is never left in the dark. He knows. He knows. God was saying to Moses, I will use what's in your hands. I will use what's in your hands. Point number one, write this down. God will use what's in your hands. God will use what's in your hands. God will use what you have, because what you have is what He gave. And what He gave is what you'll use. Or let me rephrase that. He'll use. He'll use it. God said, Moses, what's that in your hands? Because that's what I'll use. Now think about Moses' response in this moment. This, God? How in the world are you going to use a stick, God? It's just a simple, ordinary stick, God. You can't use this. But see, this staff is a symbol of what Moses does. Just like Moses' fingerprints, his staff represents his identity. This is who he is. This is his job. This is his career. But more than that, this is his calling. Moses is a shepherd. And Moses is a symbol or a shadow of the good shepherd. Jesus said in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Moses' identity was found in a simple, ordinary stick. But what seems simple and what seems ordinary is not just ordinary. This is no simple, ordinary stick. What's that in your hands, Moses? Just a stick. It's like some of you today are saying, just a hammer. Just a paintbrush. Just a keyboard, just a computer, just a scanner, just a diaper, dirty at times. Just a baby bottle. Just baby food, just baby spit up. Just a tool. Just a forklift. Or maybe for you students, it's just a pencil, paper, pen, computer, keyboard, or phone. Hello. Always. Well, it's not this anymore, it's this. Football, basketball, pom-poms. Just simple, ordinary stuff, Pastor. That's all I have in my hands. What's that in your hands, Moses? Just a stick. See, this is no ordinary stick. Just like that's not an ordinary hammer. That's not just a simple keyboard. That's not just a computer. That's not just a diaper. No, no, no. This is your calling. This is what God called you to do, Moses. It's more than a simple, ordinary stick. We've been looking at this all wrong. This isn't just a simple pom-pom, girl. No, this is God's instrument that He's put into your hand so that He could use it for His glory. It's to serve a purpose. What's in your hands today? Come on, everyone, hold out your hands again. I want you to identify right now what's in your hands. And when I say that, what I mean is, what are you doing day in and day out? How are you using these hands? How is God using these hands? What are in your hands today? What is it? Because this is what God wants to speak to you today. Whatever's in your hands is what He'll use. Because what you have is what He gave. And what He gave is what He'll use. Come on, light bulbs should be going off all over this place right now. This isn't just a job. This isn't just a paycheck. This is my calling. God has me here for a reason, for a purpose, to impact, to minister, to bring salvation where there is none. This is my calling. Let me say this with your hands out. These aren't just ordinary hands. These are extraordinary hands. Created and designed by the Creator. Amen. For a purpose, with a calling. So that you could leave a unique, lasting impression on everything that you touch. Let's go to verse 3. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Everyone throw it on the ground. And it became a snake and he ran from it. We're not going to act that part out. See, when Moses released his staff, God released His power, and that what was dead came to life. And this point is so powerful, I want you to apply it to your life. Point number 2, when we release what's in our hands, God releases what's in His hands. Come on, let that sink in. When you release what's in your hands, God releases what's in His hands. When we release this being whatever it is that's in your hands, God releases His power. God releases His wisdom. God releases His direction. God releases. But as long as we hold on to this, it remains dead. Or only as much alive as it can be in our hands or through our power. But the very moment we release this, God releases His power. And that what was dead comes alive. What is it that's in your hands? So when you release it unto God and it becomes alive, it's no longer my way. It's His way. It's no longer my power. It's His power. It's no longer my thoughts. It's no longer my smarts, because let's be honest, I'm not that bright. No agreeing. It's now through His wisdom. It's not me. It's Him. And so we release it, and God releases. So powerful. Or maybe for you today, it's monetary. As long as we hold on to it, it's dead. But when we release it, it comes alive. Not only does it multiply, it comes alive. And God can use it. But we have to let go and let God. So I'm telling someone today, let go and let God. Let go, let God. See, once Moses released this ordinary staff unto an extraordinary God, extraordinary things begin to take place. This was no longer an ordinary staff. This was an extraordinary staff. This staff came to life. This staff was used to perform many miracles. This staff was used to display God's power. This staff turned the Nile into blood. This staff parted the Red Sea, just like that. This staff caused water to gush from a rock. This staff is no ordinary staff. Why? Because Moses released it. And thus God released his power just like that. And I'm telling you, if you'll just release it unto God, God will release his power. We have to release it. So are you telling me, Pastor, if I'll release this, my marriage, my career, my job, my calling, my finances, my problems, my hurt, my brokenness, God will release his power? I'm telling you with all my heart. If you release this, if you give it unto God, God will release his power in some way. I don't know how, but he will. Let's go to verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Point number 3. His purpose is greater than my past, and his promises are bigger than my problems. Early in the week, I had a different point, and it was his purpose is greater than my phobia. Because Moses had a phobia. He said, I can't speak, God. I have a stuttering problem. I'm scared to speak in front of people. And I was reminded of my lovely wife. She tells me all the time, I just can't speak in front of people. I've got something to say, and I know God wants to speak to me, but I feel like I'm going to break out in hives. It's going to be that bad. I'm going to pass out in front of everyone. And I think about that, Tammy. If you could get over your phobia, God's purpose could be so much greater. And if you think about that, church, if you could get over your phobia, whatever you're scared about, God's purpose can come through in a greater way. His purpose is greater than my past. His promises are bigger than my problems. See, Moses was basically looking at his calling here and saying, God, I can't do this. I can't speak, God. I don't have the words to say, God. I have a speaking problem, God. And I think I have the same problem as Moses does. See, when I try to take notes on my supposed-to-be smartphone, it doesn't understand me. Most of the time, instead of taking sermon notes by writing them down, I'll just pull out my phone and speak to Siri. But 9 times out of 10, Siri does not understand me. I've tried to go in and change Siri to Southern Boys dialect, but it's not there. Somebody needs to fix that. Because most days, me and Siri have a problem. Whenever I have a really great point, I want to get it down as fast as I can before I forget it. How many of you can relate? And so I'll say it really fast. But lo and behold, Siri doesn't understand what I'm saying. And she'll record something totally off the wall. This past week, I tried to speak this to Siri. Point number 3, his purpose is greater than my past. And Siri recorded, this porpoise is greater than maps. And most of the time, I'll just record it and close it and keep going or doing what I'm doing, driving down the road. No, I don't drive and text, okay? And if I come back to that a day later, I'm like, what in the world was I trying to say? I'm totally confused. This porpoise is greater than maps? What does that mean? But if I'll say it over and over, and if I'll say it really, really fast, I'll pick it up. This porpoise is greater than maps. This porpoise is greater than maps. This porpoise is greater than maps. This porpoise is greater. Oh! His purpose is greater than my past. I get it. I remember. And anytime I try to ask Siri for directions, sorry, I didn't understand that. Sorry, I missed that. Sorry, I don't know what you're saying, Joseph. And I can feel her frustration. Because I feel the same way. Sorry, Joseph, could you please speak English? I am speaking English, Siri. You're the one that has the problem. How many have the same problem I do with Siri? I'm not alone. But see, Moses was more focused on his past than he was God's purpose. And see, Moses was more focused on his problem than he was God's promises. And Moses was more focused on his can't than God's can. And I think about this congregation today. I think about each and every one of you sitting here today. And I wonder how many of you are looking at your calling like Moses does. And saying, God, I can't do this. God, I can't do this. God, is too difficult. But see, the Creator is looking at His creation this morning saying, yes, you can do this. This is why I created you, ma'am. This is your calling. This is your identity. This is your fingerprints. And this is the mark that I want you to leave on this world, on your family, this city, this nation. Everything you touch, I want it to turn into gold. Everything. So let me ask you again, what's in your hands? What is it that's in your hands? Let's go to verse 11. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. See, God said, go anyway, Moses. I will use you in spite of your past. And God is speaking to the church today and saying, go anyway. I will use you in spite of your past. Go anyway, Moses. I will use you in spite of your problem. Go anyway, Moses. I will use you. See, the God who gave Moses a mouth would give him the words to speak. And don't you know that the God who created these hands knows what these hands are capable of? And the God that created these hands will empower these hands. He will strengthen these hands. He will guide these hands. He will use these hands. Are your hands being used? Or let me ask it this way. Are your hands available for God to use? Everyone hold out your hands again. This is a form of surrender. Everyone say, these hands are available. One more time. These hands are available. See, right now, in this moment, every one of our hands are available for God to use. Look out. He might start using them. But see, this is more than a posture. This is a position that we take day in and day out. God, these hands are available. You can put them down. These hands are available for you to use day in and day out. See, when we give our hands to God's plans, great things happen. In verse 13, Moses said, God, send someone else. And this was my response when God called me to CB. God, send someone else there. Some of you feel my pain. This was actually Isaac's response because he told me this week. Lord, send someone else. This is many of you's response when we ask you to serve in Crossroads Kids with the 2 and 3 year olds. Send someone else. I can't do this. But have you ever felt like the calling was too big for you to complete? Too complicated? Too complex? What was it that Moses was scared of? What was it that Moses feared? What was it? Moses said, God, send someone else. I can't do this. How many of you have said that? God, send someone else. I don't want to do this. Come on. 5 people are truthful. Come on. Every one of us probably. At some point or another. But see, we can't ask God to send someone else to do what He's called us to do. How many of you would say, I want my life to count? Let me see your hands. Keep them up. I want my life to count. I want my hands, you can put them down, to make a difference. I want to be used, God. I want to serve your cause. I want to reach your people. I want to make a difference in this world. See, too many of us have discounted our calling. This is just an ordinary job. This is just an ordinary thing that I do day in and day out. Being a mom, working in a factory, working in a restaurant, as a cop, as a teacher, lawyer, doctor, whatever you are. But it's not just an ordinary job. This is your calling. And this is where God wants to use you in a mighty way, because you can reach the people you work with way before I can reach them, way before your neighbors can reach them. So we have to do our part and understand that we are making a difference where we are if we're using our hands for His glory. Let Him use your hands day in and day out. Most days I'm like Moses. God, send someone else. And I bet a majority of you in here today are like Moses. God, send someone else. Just like Moses, I have a calling, but I'm not always confident in my calling. In fact, most days I lack confidence. How many of you would say I'm not always confident in my calling? But see, it's in these moments we have to understand where our confidence comes from. My confidence isn't in my calling, it's in the one who called me. My confidence, come on. Our confidence isn't found in our calling, it's found in the one who called us. My confidence isn't based on me, it's based on He. It's not based on my power, it's based on divine power. It's not my skills, it's His will. It's not my way, it's His way. Come on, if you don't start agreeing, I'm going to pull a Roddy Chung, make you stand up and start working out. See, when we give our hands to His plans, no calling is too big. No mission is out of reach. No vision will scare us. When we give our hands to His plans, His hands become my hands. His power becomes my power. I'm no longer operating as Joseph. I'm operating through Christ. Come on, church. It's no longer just my way, it's His way. It's like putting on divine gloves. It feels good, right? I had to do it. Oh, that feels good. I feel the power. I should have preached a whole sermon in these gloves. Jazz hands. Spirit fingers. Come on, cheerleaders, help me out. No guys. When we give our hands to His plans, it's like reaching in to a divine, supernatural power. And where God moves and God works and God performs the miraculous through these hands, but it's through His power. Has nothing to do with the person, the skills, the ability, the talents. Has everything to do with the Almighty. But when we give our hands to His plans, great things happen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 says, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from where? Come on, help me out. Where? He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. This word competent means qualified or adequately empowered. He doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called. Come on, grab a hold of this. See, what God calls you to do, Jesse, He will adequately empower you to do with His hands, with His power, with His strength. He'll open the door. What He calls you to, He will empower you to do. Let's go to verse 17 and let's close this sermon out. Take this staff in your hands so you can. Take this staff in your hands, Moses, so you can. Everyone stand to your feet, please. Everyone say, so you can. Take this staff in your hands so you can. So that you can perform the signs with it. So that you can rescue my people, Moses, with the staff. It's not just an ordinary staff. It's extraordinary. See, the very thing that Moses had in his hands, what God told him to lay down, would become the very thing that God would use to display His power and His purpose through the staff. This was not just an ordinary staff. This staff parted the Red Sea, right? This staff performed many miracles, right? And I want somebody here today to understand that the very thing that you have in your hands today, that God is telling you to release, that God is telling you to let go of, that God is telling you to surrender to Him, will be the very thing that God will use to display His power and purpose through. So whatever it is, moms, whatever it is, gentlemen, whatever you're doing on a daily basis, God is asking you to just release it today. Give it over to God. Go ahead and pull out your hands again. No jazz hands. No spirit fingers. Let's just open up our hands and our hearts and allow God to finish out this sermon today. What is it that's in your hands? What is it that God wants you to release today? In just a few moments, we're going to open up these altars, and all over this place, people are going to be releasing whatever it is that's in their hands, letting go and letting God. See, it's time to give it over to God. And I know you've been trying to hold on to it. You've been trying to stay in control. You've been trying to hold it together. But it's time to let go and let God. Everyone say, not my way, your way. Not my will, your will. Not my power, your power and not my strength, but yours. Not me, but you, God. So right now, every head bowed, every eye closed. Raise out those hands. What is it that's in your hands that God wants you to release today? The band's going to play. And I'm going to count to three and we're going to open up these altars. And I want you to hit these altars like you've never hit them before. I want you to run to these altars and let go and let God release whatever it is. So right now, one, don't continue to hold on to what God's telling you to let go of. Two, I know it's going to be difficult for you to step out, but step out by faith and let go and let God. It's time to release some things. It's time to see God's power at work in our lives. Three, so right now, all over this place, these altars are open. Come on. Come on. Don't hold back. You know God has spoke to you through this sermon. Give it over. Lay it at His feet. Say, God, I give this to You. I surrender this. And God, as they respond, as they let go, as they took a step of faith, God, I pray that You would be faithful to them and show Yourself real, mighty, in control. Right now, all over, just begin to talk to God. Just tell Him what it is. This is what I'm letting go of, God. This is where I need You to show up. So come on, man. Let's go ahead. Come on, talk to God.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. But You have never failed me.